Our scripture reading this evening is found in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing this letter to this Corinthian church to encourage them in some sense that they who have been of necessity made sad for the wrong that they have done, would now be made glad by this new letter that he sends. So 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we trust God to bless the reading of his holy word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 17, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's one of the great words of the New Testament. Liberty. Freedom. One of the great gifts that Christ gives to his people is that liberty, that freedom, the freedom that the Holy Spirit grants. Christian life is life in the Spirit, life in the Holy Spirit, life as a gift of God. Holy Spirit brings to us that liberty that Christ has purchased by the cross. And the Christian life is life in the Spirit. We saw this morning how Jesus said that the Spirit abides, remains with his people forever. And so we may speak of the Christian as having both life in Christ and life in the Spirit. And we see, first of all, this freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. Freedom. Then we see what it is freedom for. Or rather, freedom from, and then finally freedom for. So we have freedom. We have freedom from, and then we have freedom for. So first, freedom. What is freedom? What is liberty? What does it mean to be set free? It's a word that we use a lot, a word we hear a lot, but what actually is freedom? What is liberty? What does it mean to be free? Jesus, speaking to the Jews in John 8, speaks of this freedom. John 8, 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Freedom. It is the opposite of slavery. You have a slave on the one hand, and the slave is not free. The slave is one who is under compulsion, under constraint, who is forced to do that which his master wishes him to do. He is shackled. Again, the imagery is similar to that of somebody who is imprisoned. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay," says Mr. Wesley, "fast bound in sin and nature's night." To be imprisoned, shut up, unable to go out and in. What is freedom? Not to be enslaved, not to be imprisoned, not to be subject to force. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is true freedom. And we may think of freedom, Christian freedom, in two senses. First of all, that there is a freedom that is legally the case, a freedom that is a fact. It's a fact. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus set you free from the law of sin and death. You have been set free, released. If you are a believer, you have that freedom. You have the freedom of the sons of God. That is a fact. That is the outward objective reality. Whether you feel it or not, the Christian is free where the Spirit of the Lord is, and no one can say that Jesus Christ is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit. So where there is that confession from the heart of Jesus Christ as Lord, there the Spirit is, and there is liberty. But there is also that question of experience. We do not always feel that liberty. Our experience varies. We may feel, as the apostle did in the experience he recounts in Romans 7, that we are not free. So he can say, "We know the law is spiritual, but I am." He doesn't say, "I was." Nor does he tell us that this is his experience in the past. He says, "I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. He feels that there is this force. I feel, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you have here this fact, on the one hand, of the liberty of the children of God. On the other hand, you have this experience where that liberty is not felt, but it is still true. We rely on what God has said, not on our feelings. We rely on the truth of God. Now, we seek indeed to feel the truth, but we rely on his word, the fact. So we have freedom not to be under constraint, not to be enslaved, not to be prisoners. But what does this mean? First of all, it is we are free from. We have freedom from. Freedom from the law, first of all. That is, from the law as a way of justification. By the works of the law, the deeds of the law, no one, no flesh shall be justified. The law says the man who does these things shall live. The trouble is we don't do these things. But rather we look and we see that we have broken the law of God. We have failed. We have fallen short of God's gracious law. The law as a way of justification cannot justify but only condemn. So we have the law condemning. The law convicts of sin. The law says you have failed. We look at the commandments and we see that we have fallen short of God's standard. And so it becomes not a means of justification, but a means of condemnation. The law condemns and brings under condemnation. What it could not do, you see, and it was weak through the flesh, is this. It could not justify, it could not save, it could not make people right with God. Not that the fault is in the law. The fault is in us, the flesh. But he sets us free from the law. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty from that condemnation. Because the Spirit unites us to Christ. And Christ has kept the law for his people. He has obeyed on my behalf. He has done all things well. And so, God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is uniting us to Christ, applying Christ's work, there is liberty from the condemnation of the law. So that we may look at the law and we see its condemnation, but rather than it dragging us down, it points us to Jesus Christ and says, but he has kept the law for me. He has done it. There is my righteousness. John Bunyan tells of how he was much exercised by this thought about his righteousness, until it came to him, my righteousness is in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the name by which he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And therefore I am free from the condemnation of the law. Free from the law as a means of justification, and therefore as the instrument of condemnation. Free from the law. And then, free from sin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty from sin. From that slave driver. Whoever commits sin, Jesus says, is the slave of sin. And the slave driver holds and forces. But the Christian is free from that force, that power that compels and constrains. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoners free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is no longer that bondage that comes from past sin that leads one to say, well, I've blown it, I cannot change now. But he breaks the power of cancelled sin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty from sin. There is no such thing as liberty to sin. That's simply a contradiction in terms. It's like a square circle. If we understand Christianity, if we understand the Bible, there can be no such thing as freedom to sin. Because sin is slavery. You cannot have freedom to be a slave. Freedom is about, well, it's about freedom. And so the Apostle Paul can write to the Galatians and say, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Do not be once again brought into that slavery, but stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Or, as it's been translated elsewhere, it is for liberty that Christ has set you free. You are set free to be free, set free to continue in freedom, free from sin, from its power, from its force, from its constraints. Set free from that force that forces you to do it again and continue in it. Free from sin's power. And you shall be free from sin in every way. Completely free. Completely free. Sin will not exist in the new Jerusalem, the new heavens and earth in which righteousness dwells. No more sin. So free from sin and free from Satan. Free from Satan. He translates you out of bondage to Satan, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. United to Christ, you are taken out of the kingdom of darkness and in to the rule and reign of Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And there is liberty, freedom from death. Not indeed in its fullness yet, but there shall be. And that promise is sure and certain. Jesus says that whoever believes in him, he will raise that one up on the last day. So that death's power is
broken by Christ in his resurrection, and the Christian who is united to Christ in his life and in his death shall be united to Christ in the resurrection, raised up from the dead. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty from all these things. From all these things. Liberty from all evil. For we belong not to this present age that is passing away, but to the age, the world to come. The Christian belongs, we are children, Paul says, of that day of the Lord, the day when Christ comes again. We belong to that day. We live, as it were, in two worlds at the same time. This present evil age and the age that is yet to come. And we experience now that liberty that is part of the age to come, but in a measure. But we know that we shall, when he appears, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him, transformed. So free from the law's condemnation, free from sin, free from Satan, free from death's power. And then we are free for. Christian liberty is not simply what we are set free from, but what we are set free for. And we are set free where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We are set free first and foremost for God, that we may glorify him, and as the old Westminster Divines put it, we may glorify God and enjoy him forever. Set free that we may enjoy God and glorify him, that we may live no longer for ourselves, no longer for the things that bind us, but for God himself. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, Paul says, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That is the freedom, the liberty of the children of God. And so he goes on to say, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but in hope, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we see that liberty is pictured for us at the end of the book of Revelation. The people living with God, dwelling with God, dwelling in his light, dwelling in perfect harmony and peace and love, surrounded by the glory of God. For God we have been set free, that we may have fellowship with him, that we may enjoy him, that we may live in his glorious light. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honour into it. There dwelling in his light, there we shall see his face and never, never sin. There from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And that is the fullness, but this is the taste. We enjoy God now. We shall enjoy him more in the future, but we enjoy him now. Now we are the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We enjoy him. We know him. We have fellowship with him. And we enjoy a foretaste of that inheritance. You see that phrase, the liberty of the sons of God, the freedom that belongs to those who are God's beloved children, that we may speak to him in prayer, that we may hear of him, that we may praise him and know fellowship and know that life of God within us. For all these things we have been set free, that we may enjoy him. For this great liberty we have been set free. Set free to live the life of the Spirit. To live the life that is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. A life, the fruit of the Spirit is, Paul says in Galatians 5, reading from verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. That is liberty. To walk in the Spirit and to make no provision for sin, for the flesh. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty for God. And there is liberty from all that is wrong. Free to do what is good, because that is freedom. Free to serve God, for his service is perfect freedom. It is not the service of the abject slave who is whipped and forced to do whatever his master wants, but it is the service of the Son, of a right, good and just Father, who says, I delight to do your will, O God, who knows and understands the goodness of the Lord. The liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because the Holy Spirit brings the work that Christ has done on the cross. He broke every bond. And he took away the handwriting of ordinances against his people. And he brought in that liberty. We remember week by week his death as we gather round the Lord's table. We remember that Christ offered himself to the Father through the eternal Spirit. And that by his death he took away the guilt of his people, that Christ has died for sinners. And so it is that since the Son is the one who sets people free, and the Son is the one who gives the Holy Spirit, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. He sets his people free. And he sets us free. Takes away, breaks every chain. All the bonds and shackles that hold people through sin. He takes them away. And we are set free then from the law and its condemnation. Set free from sin, and therefore set free from shame. Because it is sin that brings shame. What are we ashamed of? the things we ought not to have done, and the things that we ought to have done that we haven't. We are ashamed of our sin, and rightly so. But because Christ's blood cleanses from sin, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom from Satan and all his condemnation. Freedom. And freedom for God to live as we ought to live. To live to his glory and praise in every part of life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because the Spirit of the Lord is the one who is transforming, changing. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Because this freedom is something that we do experience. And it becomes an ongoing experience as we behold the glory of the Lord, which the Spirit teaches us. He reveals to us the Lord Jesus. And he applies this to our hearts. He makes us more like Christ, more gracious, more loving, more holy. From glory to glory, being transformed. And we experience that freedom in that transformation that the Spirit gives, so that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not constraint, not imprisonment. Freedom from sin, from condemnation, from Satan, from shame. Freedom for God, unto God, and for good. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen.